Hello, everybody. This is a little message from me, Sam Lake, before you enjoy this episode. I just wanted to say thank you so much for everyone who has downloaded, watched, streamed the podcast so far. The response has been so overwhelming, so lovely, and we've got more exciting episodes and things and little bits coming your way very soon. I've got a little request to make of you. If you do enjoy this show, then please consider giving us a review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, preferably a 5-star if you've got it in you. And if it asks you to leave a little message, anything longer than 5 words would be lovely. That does sound specific, but basically what it does is it takes the algorithm, the dirty little algorithm, and it pinches the algorithm in that little sweet spot, and it gets the algorithm it gets the algorithm wet. It moistens the algorithm, it lubes it up so that we can get the podcast into the ears of many more people, which would be lovely. It sounds more graphic than it actually is, but that's enough from me. Thank you again, and enjoy this episode. You know, some people age like a fine wine, and some people age like a can of special brew left on a hot windowsill. Whichever one you are, get ready to talk about those pesky little emotions of yours, because it's time for another episode of I've Had a Rosé, Let's Talk About Feelings. Please welcome your host, Sam Lake.
It was me the whole time.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of I've Had a Rosé, Let's Talk About Feelings. Today, my guest is someone who absolutely smashed the Fringe last year with a show all about disassociation, where you feel absolutely nothing. So, and possibly the most awkwardly booked guest so far. Please welcome Amy Matthews.
Hey, Sammy. Yes.
Are you ready to talk about feelings if you have any?
When I have them. When I'm not numbing out. Yes, no, I am. Yeah. It's back. We're back in the room.
Oh, she's feeling again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She had a little moment actually on Sunday. Then it went.
A little moment.
A little moment.
Is that just comes, in waves?
Like it's triggered by stress or tiredness, bad news.
Oh
no, like any kind of
cause stress. Yeah, it's like my IBS.
Oh, there we go.
I found a way to relate.
Fantastic. It is a lot like nearly shitting yourself. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We're both familiar.
We're not actually. I feel quite left out.
That you haven't shat yourself?
Yeah, we've had this discussion.
It's a not very exclusive group.
I know, but it feels like something that I feel like that's a humbling experience that everyone needs to have at some point.
Well, you know, if you wanted to do it live,
the night
pod,
is young.
So nice to have you here.
So nice to be here.
You feeling ready to discuss some emotions,
some feelings? Honestly, always.
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 Always ready.
Always ready. Born
always
ready.
Ready. Always ready. Every guest who comes on the pod, choose a little beverage.
Oh,
a little
yeah.
Something fun to sip on before we get into the deep stuff.
Yeah.
And you've chosen a beverage which I think very much on brand.
Thank you.
For Amy Matthews. Do you want to tell everyone what you brought?
So what I have brought is a white port.
You brought a port.
I brought a port. I'm bringing port back. It's well documented that I'm bringing port back.
Yeah.
This is a lovely white port. I would also like to clarify that this is the second time that we've recorded this, because we originally recorded it.
I have to
bring it up, because what I was going to bring and what I brought last time, which was a setup we had as a home studio in Sammy's beautiful
studio,
flat.
Which was very good. I just forgot to plug microphones in. And with a podcast, it's very much an audio.
It is an audio format. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the first time we did it, because it was a home setup and I hadn't had to be anywhere before, I brought cocktail apparatus,
you brought
didn't
the
I?
The whole kit and yeah. caboodle.
I made us a Meadow Martini, a creation of my own,
yes.
which was a Zabrovka vodka, a dash of yuzu and some vermouth.
Yeah. Not vermouth.
I wish it was vermouth.
But it's
actually,
vermouth.
I think it's vermouth, I'm afraid. Which I know sits horribly in the
Vermouth
mouth.
K, host of Family Vermouth Fortunes.
Vermouth K.
Wow.
Vermouth K. So I think, tragically, I think it is vermouth. Also, very willing to be corrected, but I think it might be vermouth.
Okay.
So we made some lovely Meadow Martinis, garnished with some dill.
Yes, I remember the dill.
Beautiful glassware.
Yeah.
It was just, it was lovely, wasn't it? Such, everything was perfect, except the audio. In fact, do you remember how good I looked that day?
I actually said to you, because we had like light set up, and I just said, Amy, you're glowing.
I looked great.
You did look
so
really good.
I just need everyone to know how good I looked.
Yeah.
Today, 5 out of 10.
Great. Stop it.
I've come here because I've had a very stressful morning. As you already know, I've been to an accountant. Mm-hmm. It was very embarrassing because I turned up and my phone started playing Sugar We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy very loudly. Yeah. All the accountants looked up, but nobody said anything.
And you're not going to like an emo accountant?
No, I did sit down and just sort of sweat profusely after because I was so embarrassed. And I was already late because I tried to take a picture of a robin on the way and it kept moving.
To take a picture of a robin.
There was
on
a
the
lovely
way.
Robin, and it was like really plump, and I kept trying to take a picture of it. And then every time I tried, it just like hopped a little bit further down. But I didn't want to zoom because it would lose the quality.
It's the most Amy thing I think you've ever said. Oh, why is Amy running late? Oh, she was capturing a little plump little robin.
I did. I'll show you a picture of it later. Okay. It wasn't great, but it was worth being 5 minutes late. And then I was punished by Fall Out Boy. So it's been a very stressful morning. I've not washed my hair in 4 days. So I just need everyone to know that I'm not glowing in the way that I was, and I don't have the Meadow Martini
as planned.
I would
still say you're glowing.
That's
and
very
also,
kind.
Fun little question. Girls don't wash their hair that often. Because
depends
it's bad
what
for
hair
it.
Type. Yeah.
Different hair types. So but I have, it's not uncommon to like leave it for what, maybe a week?
Yeah, that would be really pushing it. That would be like,
okay.
That would be, you could start to feel the dry shampoo at that point.
Right.
You look like a sort of little troll doll. You could sort of fashion it.
Given the topic that we're going to talk about later, that actually is maybe
that
like
actually
a little...
That actually is, actually.
All will be revealed.
That's true. But today, rather than... it was embarrassing enough taking a bottle of port into accountants. I must have really looked like I was going through some stuff, actually.
Is it because you were taking it to the accountants that you've left the price tag on it?
No. That's just because I bought it yesterday. Oh, the other reason I couldn't bring loads of ingredients for what we had last time was because Chloe Petz of the pod and Josh Weller were at mine over the weekend and they polished off my Zabrovka. And so there was just no way I was buying a new bottle of Zabrovka.
That is classic them.
They absolutely smashed it.
Polishing off your
My Zabrovka.
Yes.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. Chloe thought that was the name of a goalie, which is so Chloe.
That's so Chloe. And you know what? Probably right. Probably correct.
So I don't have any of the ingredients because Weller and Petz made a real dent in it. Weller and Petz sounds like an accountancy
Weller
firm.
And Petz.
I'd have my books on them.
Yeah.
So instead, we've got a dry white port. I've gotten very into white port.
Your whole thing for the last couple of months is... I'm bringing port back. I'm bringing port back.
I'm bringing port back. And particularly what I was... My mind was blown when I realised the range of white port in Porto.
Until you said it today, I don't think I was aware that white port was a
absolutely
thing.
Absolutely delicious. It's a lovely breakfast drink, which I will caveat that with. If it happens in Porto and they're selling it as breakfast with a little croquette, it's culture and not a problem.
A breakfast croquette?
A breakfast croquette.
And a port.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I have a fond memory of drinking this particular port. Genuinely, they have a little breakfast port where you can... have a white port that's propped on a little, what do you call, like what you hold, an artist would hold to put their paints on, what's it called?
A palette.
A palette, So they prop the glass with the white port in the palette, and then in the little hole, they put the cheese croquette, and that's just a little brunch. That's a little girl brunch.
That is such a girl brunch. It's such a girl brunch.
So I had a little girl brunch, and I was travelling on my own, and I obviously had to take up a whole table. And then a chap came and sat with me. He was like, do you mind if I share a table with you? I was like, of course not. He was also on his own. Mm. We got talking. Well, it took ages for us to get talking because we were both doing that very English thing of like just pretending that we, you know, both didn't exist.
Yeah.
And then I think he said something and then I said something back. Anyway, we got chatting. I should clarify, this is a 65-year-old gentleman. It wasn't like a sort of... I was going to say Woody Allen moment, but that probably would have been if he was 65.
Not his stepdaughter.
No. it wasn't like a sort of like romantic meet cute. It was just like this lovely 65-year-old man.
Okay.
We got talking. 7 ports later, he was telling me all about his life. I was telling him all about mine.
Yeah.
Long story short, long story medium, I'm going to stay with him and his husband in Scarborough next week.
Oh, how lovely.
I'm so excited. We just got on like an H on F, and he had to go off. because...
Like an H on F.
Like an H on F, because...
You say that phrase so often, you've had to shorten it.
I just thought I'd skimp on that because I'd really gone to town on quite a lot of the girl brunch chat. So he had to go off from our girl brunch to a vineyard tour, and which he's just an icon.
And now you've made friends with a lovely couple made of Scarborough gays.
Also, and I couldn't remember what he looked like and I forgot to take a photo, so I sketched him and I'm going to give him the sketch that I made of him when I see him.
That's very cute.
It's all very wholesome, actually. So, yeah. On a less wholesome note,
yes.
We have forgotten / neglected to bring appropriate glassware.
Well, there are mugs, but the mugs are proving very controversial. Yeah.
And so we've opted for a sort of piratical approach of just drinking from the bottle. Who sang that? We're drinking from the
bottle. Kesha?
Was it
Kesha? I have no idea.
Oh, I don't know.
I think, I hate to break this to you, I think a lot of musical artists sing about drinking straight from the bottle.
From the bottle into club.
I remember Kesha saying, "Ain't got a care in the world, but I've got plenty of beer."
Tiny temper. You, producer Ewan. Yes, that was Tiny Temper.
Little Tiny Temper.
Problematic hero. I wonder if he ever took his sunglasses off. Or if he's just out there.
He's just, imagine if he's just always fresh from LASIK.
I saw Tiny Temper at V Festival in 2007. We'll talk about this kind of era in a minute.
I think we must. But is he called Tiny Temper because he's angry and short?
I just don't know. Because I'd only seen it written down for ages and thought it was Tinny Temper.
Tinny Temper.
Tinny Temper.
It's actually pronounced
Tinny Temper. So I thought it was Tinny Temper for a while.
Tinny Temper.
But hey, you should never mock anyone for mispronouncing anything that they've learned from reading. So...
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
So,
and that's why you and I get on like a bloody H on effing F. Hello, so, fire department. There's a bloody H on F over there.
Fire department last week.
Isn't it weird the first time you have to actually call the emergency services? I had to do it for someone who collapsed in the street and I had to call an ambulance.
Oh gosh, it is stressful. Yeah. You're like, it's happening.
Yeah.
It's my big day.
And they were like, what's her name? And I'd be like, I don't know, she's not much of a talker. She's fine. She came to consciousness, she was fine.
I had to call because the graveyard was on fire.
Really? Which graveyard? Because I know is it one in Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Because when the first time I came here and I was still a purveyor of the apps, not anymore, happily married, hi honey, somebody told me that the graveyard was a common gay cruising ground.
Well, they were on flame.
Bunch of flamers in the yard.
So should we sup?
Yes. Who's supping? From the porto teat.
I think we just pass backwards and forth, sort of 13-year-old house party style.
I mean, we're not going to get through the whole... I do have to work later.
Honey, we've all got to work in a way.
Okay.
You know?
Who should try first?
I think you should try first because okay. I know what it tastes like.
How big a gulp?
You go crazy, baby.
Girl gulp or boy gulp?
I think big... boy gulp.
Okay.
From daddy. All right. Ooh, that's nice. Lovely bit of noise. How was it? What were we talking?
I was about to say, do you know what? Very pleasant. Almost like it's like a it's the stupidest thing I think I've ever thought. It's like Schlur, but with a bit of attitude. And I've just realised the attitude is that it's alcoholic.
Daddy's had his first bit of wine.
You are the first guest who's brought on an alcoholic.
Oh dear.
Beverage. We had a tea, we had a milkshake, and Liam brought in Guinness, but it was non-alcoholic.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're welcome. It's nice, isn't it? So this is the...
Yeah, very drinkable.
Very drinkable. Yeah. I think this is the sort of cleanest white port I've ever had. They're usually slightly more buttery, a bit more kind of caramelly, a bit of a Werther's Original situation.
You using words to describe a liquid.
Yeah.
Like buttery.
Yeah.
Buttery. It's got a buttery finish. Buttery.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty citrusy on the nose, for sure.
Sorry, I didn't actually... I should have got the bouquet
first.
Yeah,
we're getting, like, citrusy, maybe some green apple in there.
I'm getting Haribo.
Oh, yes.
And they do have green apple Haribo.
They do have green apple Haribo, they do, actually.
They simply
it's
do.
It's fun, isn't it? You yeah. can, right, like, knock okay. yourself out, actually. it's just lovely. I think it's such a lovely drink, and it's very... it is just very drinkable.
Dangerously drinkable.
Dangerously drinkable.
Dangerously drinkable. Go on, have a little sip.
I'll have another little sip, sure.
Glug, glug, glug.
One of the great noises, actually.
A little bit of ASMR for the I don't know if we can... Well. Yeah. Oh, wow.
That was a good one. That was like when you have to really hammer out the chipotle. You know what
I mean? I actually think it's pronounced chipotle.
Is it? I've never read it.
I don't know. Oh, fun. Well, we're going to get loose, aren't we?
We are going to get loose. Can I just say, before we do get loose,
yeah.
I have a little... I was going to say gift for you. It's not really a gift. I was walking from the famous accountant scenario, and I can't walk past Pie in the Sky on Coburn Street without going in.
Okay.
For anyone who isn't familiar, which is, I would imagine, the majority of people, it's like Hun culture come to life in a shop. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I popped in just for a little browse. And I, you know, when something presents itself to you and you can't believe how perfect it is for someone.
Yes. Yeah.
I actually lost my mind. So for listeners in an audio state, this is a sticker with Pedro Pascal, the ultimate daddy. Anyone who needs to, anyone who has seen Sam's show will know that he's the ultimate daddy.
From a distance, you could think it was me.
You could actually. I mean, you terrifyingly, really that could. Is true.
Look at that.
That is lovely.
That's
going
to go somewhere, I think. And I think that has to be, in addition to the set.
Yeah, for sure. It's captioned daddy as a state of mind.
Because it is.
Because it is, actually. It's all very Brand Lake.
It is. Brand Lake.
It's Brand Lake.
Oh, Brand Lake. Very swampy this time of year. Oh, that's got... Oh, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Oh, you've really outdone yourself. Get me all liquored up and then giving me a sticker. I'll do anything now. But before we deep dive, so like the port, what does it make you feel exactly? Does it... Put you in a state of ease? Do you think of a particular setting when you're drinking the port?
It just really makes me feel pissed. No, it makes me feel... well, that specific one is really nostalgic because of Scarborough John.
Sure. It brings up a nice memory.
It brings up a lovely memory of lovely John from Scarborough. But also just, I think... I have such a lovely relationship with port because it's also what me and my flatmate drink at home.
Uh-huh.
We have an open bottle of port all the time that's communal. We just, like, it's whoever, like, in the way that we take it in turns to buy the kitchen roll, we take it in turns to buy the port.
So you always have port, right?
We always have port. We actually had a flight of port last night where we had a white, a tawny, and a ruby and just sort of sampled each. It was fantastic.
A tawny port.
A tawny port.
There's a porn star called Tawny Port.
That would be such a good drag name as well, wouldn't it?
Tawny Port.
Tawny Port.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very pro port just generally.
Pro-port.
I love it. I think it's very drinkable. I think it's very there's got such an element of novelty that when you offer someone a port, they find it quite difficult to say no.
You're not going into a bar and asking for the house port.
No, unless you're me.
Unless you're you.
Which I have started doing, and it does throw the bar staff.
They do. I remember we went for dinner with lovely baby boy Neil.
We did.
Was our tech during the fringe.
Yeah.
And you were saying you're having a port. I was like, well, you know what? I'll bloody have a port as well.
It's
and
catching.
And it took them like 8 minutes to work out how to charge me for a single serving of port.
Yeah.
Because they only use it to make cocktails with and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or slash like for, I don't know, some old ladies in December.
Yeah.
But it needs a rebrand.
It does need a rebrand.
It's fantastic. I think it's going to have a gin revival.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think you're going to find, like, port in a tin at M&S?
I actually do.
Yeah.
Train tinnies, train port.
We could brand one together.
Train port.
Suck on a can of slut port.
train tawny.
Train tawny. That's not bad.
It's not bad.
That
is
not bad. Next to the Peppa Pigs.
Next to the Peppa Pigs. Well, that's girl dinner.
It sounds like it it's quite lovely, reminds you of nice people.
Definitely. That you enjoy lovely the memories. I have only ever had lovely memories attached to drinking a port.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, there are other drinks that I have memories attached to other things that are horrid.
Right. Like petrol.
Like petrol.
Yeah.
Like a sort, you know, like a
Dioralite.
You get it.
Yeah.
So I think this is just like, I've only got lovely memories attached to drinking port.
Stunning. Yeah. That's lovely. Well, I think we're very much in the mood.
Agreed.
And I mean, it's going to be difficult to talk about your subject without talking about the stuff that we already talked about.
We have to.
That never was.
That's okay.
But you have chosen a year and a theme.
Yeah.
Because I think the year that you chose is the peak of this theme. So it's 2008. And we're talking indie sleaze culture.
We are.
Now, for people who are not familiar, because I think you and I are around similar ages.
We
know what we're talking about.
We do.
But set the scene for people who might not understand that, why indie sleaze culture and like the peak was in 2008.
Okay. So it was, obviously music around that time was just full of what I think is termed now like indie landfill, right?
Indie landfill.
Loads of mediocre indie bands just absolutely dominating the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone buying NME magazine. Indie and alternative and like sort of soft rock dominating the charts, which
so
doesn't really
soft.
Happen. So soft.
So soft. Soft boys,
from
soft rocking.
From soft little boys who couldn't hurt us all.
And the bands were always called stuff like A Sparrow in the Toaster.
Yep.
And our lead single is Dad Didn't Buy the Baby Bells.
Yeah, the Academic Mushrooms. Oh my gosh, all of this.
Mushrooms.
It was all so daft. And everyone had a trigger warning if you are sensitive to chat around eating disorders. Skip forward 15 seconds. Everyone was heroin chic.
So heroin chic, that's where it came from.
Everyone
very
was
popular.
Skinny.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, there was lots of very problematic, gross stuff on Tumblr about, like, why everyone should have thigh gaps. But the boy, also, men get missed out of this conversation a lot as well. Like, the men were all diddy little drain pole boys.
It was just thin everywhere.
Thin everywhere. Yeah. But the culture around it was very much like the fashion was led by like Alexa Chung, all of the T4 crew.
Oh,
so we're talking
T4.
Makita Oliver. We're talking Simon Amstel. We're talking the other ones. We're talking George Lamb.
Steve Jones.
Steve Jones,
Steve Jones, who
I bumped into in a Couples changing room.
Yes, you did.
Which is maybe the most indie sleaze story in the world.
You're not supposed to walk in on people in the changing rooms.
It was an all gender changing rooms. And I bumped into, it was in the Couples, which is a very indie sleaze brand, by the way.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah, and I bumped into, it was Steve Jones, wasn't it?
Steve Jones, the Welsh one.
Steve Jones.
Welsh.
That is Welsh.
There's him.
And there was him. And so that whole kind of scene was very, very indie sleaze.
I don't think this T4 presenter was part of the sleaze, but can we just have a moment to discuss June Sarpong?
Good Lord. She is amazing.
She's got a bloody MBE. She's an MBE.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She was so cool.
She was so cool. That's why they're all high at Grimshaw.
Grimshaw.
Yeah.
As
all
I live and breathe.
T4 lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was like, so as well as all of the soft bands and boys and everyone being very thin and then all the very cool bit, their whole vibe, especially Simon Amstel, was poking fun at all of the popular culture.
Absolutely.
All of the things.
It was like cool girl culture, which is now extremely gross and problematic. We don't love it. But it has informed quite a lot of my generation's personality. So it was, and a lot of looking like you'd been on a 3-day drink and coke bender.
Yeah.
And it turned out, in retrospect, They were. Mm-hmm. But we didn't, as like 13-year-olds, just had to emulate that with messy hair, terrible eyeliner.
Yeah.
A flash on your MySpace picture that was so bright you could only see your legs.
So bright. But my friend Karen's bringing that back. She's got an old digital camera and only takes photos with the flash on it. Everyone looks gorgeous.
Do they though?
Yeah, no, because they do. Because we're styled how we are styled now.
That's true.
But using that flash and not like the, you know, like.
We just looked so dirty.
Everyone looked like they needed just a little scrub.
Yes.
Everyone needed a good old scrub.
Yeah, everyone needed a scrub.
But like dirtiness was kind of part of the brand.
Oh, completely.
And there's two things I think about. I think about Kate Nash.
Don't we all?
I think about Kate Nash and just how fun it was that she didn't like really sing. She just talked.
She literally just talked through everything.
I think we did this on the last podcast, but I'll do it again because it was a bit of fun. Any song that Kate Nash did was always something like, I just had a fight with my boyfriend, then I had a curry and sucked off his dad. It's so much fun pretending to be her.
It is so much fun.
So much fun. And Foundation is actually a very good karaoke song. Of course.
Well, you don't have to sing it.
You don't have to sing it, but it's also it's word. One of those ones where everyone in the room suddenly goes, I think they actually know all the words. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They're all sick of my trainers.
Also, can we just appreciate the fact no one gives the second verse the like credit it's due? It's like the national anthem.
The Lemons.
No one gives the second verse the credit it's due. My national anthem.
Yeah.
Our nations. It's really good. You know the bit that's like, I'll leave you there till the morning. I purposely won't turn the heating on. Yeah. And dear God, I hope I'm not stuck with this one.
Yeah.
Is the precise tone.
I think you may have projected a bit louder than Kate Nash did on the
I think you're right,
single.
Actually. Yeah, she was a whisper girly.
Yeah, she was a whisper girly.
She was a whisper girly for Drew's. Just all of that was amazing. Yeah. A lot of androgyny.
A lot of everyone having a bi phase.
Everyone, for crying out loud.
Everyone's having a bi moment.
Everyone is having a bi moment.
Which is great.
Honestly, bring that back.
I say yes. More bi.
More bi,
please.
More bi-bis.
And also sort of on that, the other thing I think of around this time is skins.
Skins, of course. Oh my gosh.
Everyone at my school, even though we're in about like year 8, year 9.
Wanted to do pills at the weekend.
We're gearing up for key stage 3 sats.
You better believe.
And kids have seen the first episode of Skins and then come back in the next day looking like the Skins kids and being like, yeah, I was at a house party. I think I must have done like a kilo of ketamine.
Do you know what's really nuts though? Like when I think back on that, like I remember being at a house party at 13 years old and people drinking a bottle of vodka each. Which when you look at a 13-year-old now, I mean, to be fair, they all look 26, but like it's meant we were children.
We were children.
But that culture of just like, oh, like it's cool to get messy has informed like a whole generation of people. And that doesn't exist now. Like the generation below us are so like, apart from their little vapes, God bless them. Like just, they're so clean.
Yeah. It's very, they were very live fast, die young.
Yeah.
Die before you have to sit your philosophy A level.
Exactly.
So this is what you chose. Oh, my car's fallen on the floor. What a silly little slut. This is why you chose it. Why? What emotions does it make you feel then thinking about indie sleaze culture in 2008?
Intense nostalgia, which is
extreme
lovely.
Extreme nostalgia, which everyone loves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But do you know what? Not in a kind of, I think with obviously nostalgia is really tightly tied to like a bittersweetness.
Mm.
I have nothing but fond, like it doesn't make me sad. It makes like it's so ridiculous because it was like a movement that took itself so seriously.
Yeah.
It's really funny to look back on.
As are a lot of like movements.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone always says like, oh, 70s and 60s were great for fashion. And then you get to the 80s and it's like, you're right, babes. Yeah. Are you okay?
Yes. No, it's just really like, also it's still, I mean, not today really, but it still informs so much of how I dress.
I was going to say, is it, you think it is a big influence?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, today I look like a sort of au pair. But broadly speaking, I wear a lot of like shirts and like bolo ties and
you do
big blazers and just a lot of like like indie sleaze vibes.
I think one time it might have been at the Monkey Barrel like end of fringe party, but I saw you dressed and I thought you looked like a really fun sort of like lesbian vampire hunter.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
But like sort of a mix between Willow from Buffy and Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
Oh my God.
The outfit of Daphne combined with elements of Willow's aesthetic.
Do you remember what I was wearing?
You were wearing, do you know what? Up top, not too different this, but I think...
shirt girly.
I think the colour scheme was a sort of like browns. Browns and beige.
Browns and beige.
And I think you were wearing a little skirt.
It wouldn't have been a skirt because I don't wear a skirt on stage, I don't think.
You weren't, it wasn't on stage, it was at the party.
Oh, crumbs.
So it's at the end of Fringe, Monkey Barrel Party.
I know. Oh, that was a very, I think that was actually quite a 70s look. Because I know exactly what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was wearing a Lucy and Yak skirt, like A-line skirt. That
isn't
looked like
every bloody comedian wearing Lucy and Yak?
Speaking of bring back bi culture.
yeah.
And I had, yeah, a shirt and a waistcoat open, I think. Yeah, sort of like Fleetwood Mac energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very sort of like sexy lady magician.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's lovely.
Except the only thing you've got up your sleeve is rallying against the patriarchy.
We love it. But yeah.
So it had an influence on you.
Yeah.
What? And you look back on these times, you feel a lot of nostalgia.
Yes.
I think people really enjoy nostalgia.
Oh, of course.
Everyone loves it. It's such a hook.
Yeah.
Like, even when I'm on TikTok, if it references, I love TikToks where it's talking about old sweets that aren't available anymore.
Okay.
So like Mars Planets, Cadbury's Tasters.
I don't know.
Because I don't make them anymore.
Okay. Oh my God.
But you look at them and be like, oh my God. I remember where I was. Yep. I remember when I would get them, where I would eat them, which corner shop I'm going to, exactly where on the shelf. Yeah. Is there anything else that brings up nostalgia?
Nostalgia for me. Well, so there have been studies, right, in the fact that of why we don't really listen to much new music beyond what we listen to. Is it between the age of 13 and 20?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that basically informs whatever your taste are for the rest of your life. I am absolutely guilty of that, as I think lots of people are.
Yeah.
And so yes, I still very, very much listen to that.
It's so true, because every time my Spotify Unwrapped comes around, it gives you the playlist of the like 100 songs that you listen to the most in that year. And that just becomes the playlist I listen to next year. So when Spotify Unwrapped comes back, it's like, it's the same playlist.
Oh yeah,
Sam.
It turns out I like 9 songs.
Yeah. I will let one niche song come into the rotation.
Yeah.
And this year I was so called out by Spotify Unwrapped because there was like a thing about like, oh, your musical tastes are similar to people in this area.
Yeah.
And it was like, if they suggested a particular area, then it was sort of giving away that you're a big old homosexual, which I don't mind.
You're what?
I'm in a bi phase. And people being like, oh my God, it's giving away that like my top artist is like Kim Petras or like, you know, a girly pop icon. Yeah. Mine was a band from Catalonia that did not qualify for the final of Spain's Eurovision selection. Not even the final. Made the semi-final. Got very few votes. The song's entirely in Catalan. And they are my most listened to top artists because I listened to two of their songs that I quite like the sound of.
Okay, so in a very, very packed category, that might be the gayest thing you've ever said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. What are their names?
Who?
The band.
I couldn't tell you.
You just love their song.
I do know it.
Come on, you can do it.
I don't know how it's pronounced, though. I think it's Cedarland.
Cedarland.
Cederland.
Cederland.
But then you get like a little... Okay. Cederland.
Nice.
Yes, we love the musica. Just makes you want to talk like Penelope Cruz.
You must, actually.
You know, this year you got like a little message from them.
Yeah.
And I got the message.
Yeah.
And even with my limited Spanish, I was like, I'm not getting any of this. I know this because they only sing in Catalan. Which is a different language.
It is.
The Barcelona boys. I can't Can't understand a word.
See, I was really let down with my Spotify Wrapped because I had quite a cool Spotify Wrapped except my number one artist.
It's always the way,
It's the way, which is so much more telling, I think.
Yeah.
I basically listened to Hosier's Wasteland Baby on repeat for about 8 months.
I didn't even know he was still going. The Take Me to Church, man.
Yeah, which, by the way, it's been a very bi-culture heavy episode, but oh my gosh, his peak bi-culture.
Is he...
Oh my God, he's the only man lesbians love.
Oh.
It's true. He's what?
Massive,
he's massive. But he's like a beautiful forest man and lots of queer femmes are obsessed with him because he's unthreatening and kind.
Uh-huh.
And that really is the bar.
It really is the bar. Yeah.
And speaking of which, I'm actually going to see him again with Lulu Popplewell in July. Okay, and we will be the two women in shirts screaming with all of the other women in shirts screaming.
Do you know what musical act I'm seeing this year? Three times
is
in three different locations.
Again?
No, it's Girls Aloud.
Of course. Oh, do you know, we can't escape who we are, actually.
I don't think there's a musical concert that we would both go to and equally enjoy.
I disagree. Let's find one. I think we'd both have a lovely time at... who do you like?
This is the thing about me, that I don't really enjoy music the same way other people do. For me, it's a very functional thing.
Really?
Do you know what? When we did the first series of this podcast years ago during the lockdown, what a lot of people said got them like feeling certain things was music. And a lot of them said... Oh, I love listening to a perfect curated playlist to put me in the mood for the gym, a night out, a long walk. That's what I use it for. But I really only use it for walking somewhere or going to the gym.
Yeah.
So I'm always listening to sort of like up-tempo girly bangers and then my lads in Catalan. So that's it.
Yeah.
So they're my top artists, even though I listen to them like 150 times.
Okay.
150 plays, which I don't think is that many.
There are songs that I can't listen to because of that point in history. Like, they're so tightly tied
to
the pandemic.
That's very interesting.
There's
like
a lip
what?
Balm I can no longer use because of the pandemic.
Because of the pandemic?
Yeah, because I find it too evocative. I know. I have a very sentimental brain.
Which brand?
I can see it. It's in a little blue pot. And if I smell it, I just cry. It just makes me cry.
Nobody said, oh, certain smells make me cry. But that makes total sense.
My olfactory response is so visceral.
Yeah.
So visceral.
You once asked me, I think, after a gig, and it had rained during the gig, but it wasn't raining. And then you were just like...
Oh, the petrichor.
The petrichor. You literally used that word. And I was just like, yes. Oh, the petrichor. It's extra petri today.
It is extra petri.
But apparently you said everyone thinks the petrichor in Edinburgh smells a different way. And I think I said it smelled to me like shreddies that have been left in the bowl for a bit.
Oh, so this isn't the petrichor. This is, there's a brewery in Edinburgh. And when they do the malting, whatever it pumps out smells slightly different to everyone. It's like that, you know, that Harry Potter spell that like everyone smells slightly differently. Have you seen that?
Is there a scene in Harry Potter where putting all the wands up their noses?
There's something where it's a love potion, I think, where everyone smells it slightly differently because of what
they
love.
Okay.
And that's what the Edinburgh distillery is like. So I smell kind of like a warm Marmite.
Yeah.
Lots of people have said like Weetabix.
Something
like
grainy.
Baking. Yeah, it's absolutely, it's got whole like grainy, a malty whole graininess, but everyone smells it slightly differently. Mm. And what was yours?
Wet shreddies.
Wet shreddies, yeah.
Yeah, I think anyway. Certain China.
That was so funny.
China. That wasn't even my best. You're right. Oh, we have had some port on an empty stomach, haven't we? She's had a rough day at the accountants. Everyone knows she's a dirty little emo with no money. And now she's rocked up here.
A dirty little emo with no money. That's such a good
That's a great band. Hi, we're Dirt and Little Emos with no sensible ices.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
But so interesting about smells.
Sorry.
If 2008 indie sleep. Sorry. Can you just make sure you do that to camera? Because we'll put it in the trailer and make it look like I said something really upsetting.
It'll be like, you know, when they do the trailers for Oprah. And they just have like Meghan Markle being like, it was really tough.
That was great. Yeah, love it. Absolutely God. Love that.
Ewan, we've not given you any port.
You're driving. He's driving. Oh, let's not compromise God. Him. Someone has to be
That's
a professional.
So funny.
If 2008 Indie Sleaze times,
yes,
wherever the epicenter of that would be, what yeah. would that smell of?
Fags.
Yes.
Cheap vodka.
Oh, Glen's.
Glen's.
Yeah. Maybe a lot of, you were saying dry shampoo earlier.
So much dry shampoo.
A lot of dry shampoo.
Do you know what? It would also smell of Dream Matte Mousse, the foundation.
Check out volume.
Oh my gosh.
A hair that's mostly
No,
fringe,
I mean the foundation then, called Dream Matte Mousse from Maybelline.
Oh, it's a foundation.
Oh my gosh. It was the foundation
yeah.
for a delicious orange hue that everyone was after at the time.
Claudia Winkleman?
Big time.
Yeah.
Big
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
That smell is so evocative. Like if you smell a Dream Matte Mousse, oh, gosh, it's yeah. 2008. The pound is 2 to 1 to a dollar, like straight away.
Oh, someone's yeah. following the NASDAQ.
Yeah. Yeah. You know me.
What? Who? So I feel like we covered a lot of them already, but then, so who would like the, like, what were some of the like the legendary moments of this time then that you
so,
think of fondly?
I think we should give some airtime to it was the season of the power couple. Of dysfunction.
So
let's also caveat that
dysfunctional,
it's dysfunctional relationships.
Emphasis on dis.
Very dysfunctional. Yeah. So we're talking Pete and Kate, right?
Yeah.
Kate Moss, Pete Doherty. Mm-hmm. We're talking Alexa Chung and Alex Turner. We're talking Miles Kane and Agnes Dean.
Yeah.
We're talking Daisy Lowe and Mark Ronson.
I think so, yes.
Just a lot of Emma Watson and George Craig.
Which one was George Craig?
From One Night Only.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There was just so many.
Yeah. Noel like, Fielding. Fill in the blank yourself. Yeah.
Even to the point where, speaking of the Couples, do you remember Couples Couples?
Couples Couples.
Couples Couples.
Is that where they matched?
They had a marketing thing where they would get couples who looked hot
uh-huh.
to be the face of the Couples, and they'd be like all over buses and stuff in London.
Oh, right.
And it would just
okay.
be like Helga Architect 26, Herman Music Producer 73, and it would just be two like cool looking people dressed in Couples clothes.
Oh, but they're not a romantic
they
couple.
Are a romantic couple.
Oh,
and then
okay.
it would say how long they've been together under their names.
Oh, okay.
Mental.
Yeah,
we really like idolized
Wait, was this
coupledom.
Around the time where boyfriend jeans were very popular?
I think so. No, it was it was wall-to-wall skinny jean.
Everyone's in skinnies. Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, it was very much that like the women would look like they had a one night stand. They'd put their boyfriend's yeah. big shirt on and they'd left and gone to Carnaby Street.
I went to my boyfriend's house last night and I got fucked. And I took one of his shirts, I put a belt around it and some high heels.
Exactly.
And I went to my job as VP at Morgan and Stanley.
Exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah,
put me
yeah,
on
yeah.
the front of NME Now.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah. So that was very, very much the vibe. So there was a lot of coupled, like celebrating extremely toxic couples.
Such toxic.
Yeah. There was a lot and of problematic
couples. It's funny
couples.
That we're sort of having a... like a review of the mm-hmm. toxicity at that time.
Oh, completely.
And everyone's kind of like, yeah, unquestionably, that was all pretty bad, wasn't it?
That was
it?
Nuts, yeah.
But at the time, you'd be like, oh, he sent a car to a school to pick up a 16-year-old.
Cute!
Well, how would we have known at the time? Besides, before we move on to the uh-huh. last little bit, are there any other feelings that come up when you think of this beloved time? Because it sounds like it's influenced you a lot.
It
you
has.
Think of it with a lot of fond nostalgia.
Yeah.
Is there any other emotions it brings up?
Do you know, a little shout out to my hometown, actually. Because, so there was a venue called Chinneries in Southend where, like, it was a real hub for that kind of stuff. So, like, the Horrors started playing there and others. and, yeah, I think, like, going to see live music for the first time for me was a big thing.
Yeah.
It's so, like, I remember going to Chinneries a lot. I remember going to GAY Heaven and Villiers Street in Covent Garden.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good. It was
I always forget that was a music venue.
Yeah.
I saw Leona Lewis there once.
Did she really? What did she say?
So drunk before she got on, I had to go and have a tactical vom.
Did you?
Because I was like, I am not going to miss her singing Bleeding Love.
No, of course not. That was a... actually, this is perfect because at, around that time, that was peak Bluetoothing each other ringtones.
The old polyphonics.
The polyphonics. And do you know what? Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis, that was a top three.
Yeah.
That, Crazy Frog... do you know what's really amazing? Spotify, I don't know if you've heard of them, have a really cool playlist that's Bluetooth classics.
Oh, really?
And it was all of the songs that we would like send each other at like the back of the school bus kind of thing.
Let's see what's on it.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Bluetooth. Classics. There we go. So we've got Paper Planes by MIA.
Of course.
We've got Sticks and Stones by Jamie T for crying out loud.
For sobbing out loud,
Black
Jamie
and Gold
T.
by Sam Sparrow. That was a one-hit wonder hero.
Yeah.
Same Jeans by The View, Scotland represent. Mm-hmm. Sheila, Jamie T. Jamie T really did dominate.
And if you play them, are they like how they would sound out of an old Nokia?
No, but I wish they were.
Oh, those
I
were
really
the days.
Wish they were.
Those
Riding
were the
Solo
days.
By Jason Derulo. It's a curveball.
When you watch like one of the music channels and then there'd be an ad for the Crazy Frog and be like, just text frogfucker to 85555 and we'll send you for the low price of £5.50 plus a recurring charge of £2 every month.
Yeah.
One polyphonic ringtone that everyone fucking hates.
Do you remember texting Stars channel?
No.
So there would just be, there was a channel called Stars with a Z, so you knew it was cool.
Yeah.
And it had like a banner across the bottom of like breaking showbiz news. And then you could text the channel in the right hand side.
Yeah.
And it wasn't vetted. So you could just text in any old shite slash hate crime.
So like a babe station, but like.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the person hosting doesn't know. 100%. They're going to get treated like a babe station.
So you
babe.
Just have like a video of like Fallout Boy, and then in like a little bracket next to it, there'd be someone being like, "Karen, I still love you, babes." Like just like people would just be texting it. It was mental. Absolutely
he was like,
mental.
"I've got to do something big to get Karen back. I'll text the Stars channel,
nuts.
Which you'll definitely be watching."
Absolutely nuts. Put a donk on it. Do you remember that?
I remember the expression. Put a donk on it.
Put a donk on it.
Put a donk on
it. I don't
it.
Think we can play it because of fair use, but I've always got one eye on
You've always
copyright.
Got one eye on
don't
the
worry
donk.
About that. Don't
I've
worry
always
about
said
that.
About you always thinking about the
but
donk.
But yeah, so there was... Bedrock by Young Money. What a tune.
So a lot of this is End just sort of like a lot of sensory experiences, be they oral, AU, or... Not... Well, I suppose oral as well. I mean...
I don't think there was much of that going on in 2008.
Of course, it hadn't been invented until 2013. Of course, we had to get the London Olympics out of the way.
We did, actually, out of damn respect for Her Majesty.
Yeah. She said, "I'm not jumping out of this helicopter unless everyone stops sucking each other off." R.I.P. Liz.
That's the clip.
What a lovely sensory journey through that time then.
Yeah, really.
Because it's
nice.
Like it's one, because it doesn't seem like it's brought up one singular emotion.
No,
one
so
singular
we've had,
sensation.
We've certainly had sights because we've done fashion, we've done smells, we've done sounds, we've done. Have we done taste? The
I don't
taste
know.
Of that time for me was Cactus Jack's.
Oh, a Cactus Jack's or an Aftershock? Do you ever have an Aftershock?
I actually didn't. I wasn't an Aftershock girly, but I know people that were.
Loved it. Anything colourful.
Yeah,
anything colourful.
Anything
I would
that
shop.
Looked like juice.
Yeah.
But could sort of end your night in a gutter.
Yeah. I could kill a medium-sized rhino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And tasted like batteries. Well, but
it's a fun sensory experience that I think you've taken us on. And I think it is a lovely demonstration of how we associate emotions and feelings to the five senses.
Agreed.
And what it brings back.
What a lovely thing, actually.
To talk about.
Do you want a final port glug?
Yeah, well, we've got one last thing to do. So do you we? Have a glug, and then I'll have my glug when I ask these questions. It's the last bit of the show. It's been so much fun. It's been so much fun. I have a list of random topics, things, people, places, items. And I just want to get your immediate feelings on them. Whatever comes to your heart first, just let us know. And I'll start you on the one that I ask everybody. Oh, the things in the cap. Well, okay, you've made that difficult, haven't you? No, it's fine.
I plugged the bottle.
It's fine. I'll swig afterwards. It's fine. Okay, fine. So your first one, how do you feel about dark chocolate?
Really good if it's got chili in it. Pretty good if it's got salt in it.
Sorry, I might have to have another.
That's okay. And neutral if it's plain.
You're a chili chocolate girlina.
I am. I can't explain how much I like my food to hurt. Like, honestly, I need all of my food to either set my mouth on fire or be so acidic that it burns a hole. Like, I don't know what's going on there.
I would love to judge you, but I think I realised from having one too many cinema hot dogs.
Yeah.
I like food that people would judge me for eating in public.
Fair enough. Absolutely fair enough.
If anyone's picturing it, I get more of the hot dog in my mouth on the first bite than you would expect.
Show off.
I know. very interesting. Next thing, how do you feel when somebody posts like a cryptic message on their close friends?
Oh, I feel like most of the close friends that I get stuff shared to, i.e. my close friends, it's usually quite admin focused. It's usually people that have just decided not to send a group message, that they've just broadcast it on their Instagram instead. Yeah. So I'm not sure I've known anything cryptic on a close friend's.
No?
No. Literally, no.
You never just like, you never just feel like taking like a little shy photo of yourself in the mirror and then just two words, send help.
I actually wish I'm not very social media focused.
We don't like it, do we?
I don't know. I think if I didn't need it for my job, I would have a little private account with maybe like 60 of my nearest and dearest.
I think you would get a printing press and I think you would mail out a newsletter.
You'd send
a couple up to the Scar Brigades. Yeah.
TM. As someone who literally wrote a 7-page letter to their friend last night, I can confirm that is my medium.
Yeah. I can picture it. Okay. Thoughts and feelings about Naughty's icon, Samantha Mumba.
She was great in, I was going to say Time Team. Star Time Team. The Time Machine. They made a remake of The Time Machine.
She sure was. What was she doing in that ditch in Surrey?
Her and the Anglo-Saxons and Tony Robinson rolling around in the mud.
Just
in Sutton Hoo.
Yeah, I think we found something. It's Samantha Mumba alive and well.
If we can find a listener that enjoyed both a Samantha Mumba and a Sutton Hoo reference, I'm so excited. Beyond Pierre Novelli, I can't think of a single person.
Well, Pierre, that one was for you, babes. How do you feel about the people who go on The Apprentice?
Oh, get them some help.
Get them some help. Or would you? I think that says it all, doesn't it?
It does say it all.
And your last thing, how do you feel about those magazines that are covered in headlines that say things like, I microwaved a pot of baked beans and then I fucked it and now I'm trans? Have you seen those?
I've been alive in the last 20 years.
My XL bully dog bit off one of my tits and I've never felt better. Don't you love?
I actually do love in a way. I'd love to know how much of it is true.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just can't believe for the amount of headlines and the amount of people, it's kind of like the embarrassing bodies paradox of like, if you're that embarrassed, why is it taking you?
Why are you on TV?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. If it's that traumatic and awful, why have you chosen Take a Break as your outlet? Do you know what I mean?
I think it's a different, because I think Take a Break keeps it a little bit
classier.
Take a Break, yeah. Headlines are more like, I was his piano teacher and he's now 16 and it's the best sex of my life.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah. It's cheeky problematic as opposed to like, as opposed to like crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Above the age of consent.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I don't, we should have a flick through.
Yeah.
One of those, actually, at some point. Have a little read.
I once say, it's not the same magazine. I once saw Emily Blunt, Oscar Award nominated Emily Blunt, on the front of a magazine that I think was called something like Crossword Weekly.
Okay.
And then I open it up and it is just crosswords in there. So I'm not sure why Emily Blunt was on the front cover.
Well, she must have been a clue.
Do you think her PR told her? Be like, Emily, Emily, we know it's award season. Guess what we've got, don't cry, Emily, don't cry. You're on the cover. You're on the cover of Crossword Weekly.
Why can't we get that for our fringe PR? Why aren't Multitude getting us?
I would love it. It's so camp.
I know.
We'll start a story.
CC Mel Brown, why can't you put us on the cover of Crossword Weekly? I'll use a prop. If you so wish.
Put it anywhere you like.
Put it anywhere you like.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
So
thank
much
you.
For being here.
What a pleasure.
Really had a lovely time chatting to you. Before we let you go, is there anything that you'd like to cheekily plug?
I would love to cheekily plug the fact that I'm on tour.
You are on tour. It's a great show.
Thank you.
In so many locations.
You did see it in so many locations.
So
I'd love to plug my tour in general.
Yes.
Specifically, if you live in Manchester, Christ alive, I'd love you to come.
Oh, yes.
I'd love you to invite everyone you've ever known if you live in Manchester.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also specifically our weekend. So if you are Edinburgh-based...
I think this might go out after then.
Never mind then, actually.
But it's just fun because we're on at the same weekend here at Monkey Barrel, so it's very much Barbenheimer.
It's Barbenheimer. Yeah. Sam is Barbie. I am Heimer.
Yeah.
And what else do I have to plug? I'll have a special coming out at the end of March. I don't think I can disclose the date just yet, but keep an eye out, actually. And I think that's all my things.
And where can people find you on socials?
They can find me at Amy F. Matthews, Amy if F. you can believe. And www.amymatthewscomedy.com if that's your tipple.
Amy F. Matthews. Amy the F, F stands for fuck me, she likes port.
It does.
Right, wait, okay. Well, we're going to have to stop there, aren't we?
I was just going to say, yes, I was named after my grandmother. Nanny, fuck me, she likes it. I think she stepped in. I was like, honey, no. What was that?
Well,
oh, no, Ari's on the floor.
From me and Amy and
John
Nana
Roberts.
Fuck. Thank you for watching another episode. We'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of I've Had a Rosé, Let's Talk About Feelings. Well, I assume you've listened to the episode. If not, hope you're enjoying your nap. If you did enjoy the episode, why not subscribe to it on your favourite podcast platform? And if you really enjoyed it, why not leave us a nice review there whilst you're at it, specifically on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It would really help us out. And of course, you can tell people about the show and tag us using the handle I've Had a Rosé. You can also follow us on all forms of social media where we're posting our favourite clips from the show and extra little bits of content here and there. Thanks so much for listening and see you again for the next episode.